portion of reading. I'll be honest with you, I don't think I'll preach a real long time tonight, and that may not necessarily always be a bad thing. But I do ask that you would pray for me that I will preach what the Lord has given me, and when it's time for me to hush, I'll do that certainly. Turn with us to the third chapter of the book of Colossians. And I don't preach out of this book an awful lot. There's a lot of good things in here that Paul said to the church at Colossae. And Colossae or Colossia, however that you'd like to pronounce it. But these scriptures are, I think, applicable to us today here at Mount Calvary. I think they're applicable to just about every church, true church, that there ever has been. And I think they're especially true for every person that has been saved. Third chapter of the book of Colossians, first verse. It says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, idolatry, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds." I would like to take for a lesson text tonight just a very small portion of the scripture of the fourth chapter, "Who is our life." You'll see it's offset by commas, and usually when you see an offset by commas, there's something usually kind of important there. It's kind of adding two things, two thoughts together. But I think this is a very important part of this scripture. Who is our life? Who? When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. If we could title this tonight for just to remember, just for a few moments, I would title it, "We need to remember who we are and whose we are." I think a lot of times as children of God, we forget why that we're even living. That may sound indifferent, that may sound bad this evening, but our life this evening is not our own. I have quoted the scripture a number of times. I still believe it to be the truth. It's in the Bible, and I will quote it, I guess, a million more times before I leave this world, if God should see fit. "But ye are not your own. You are purchased with a price." You don't belong to yourself anymore. When God saves our soul, we belong to Him. I told you a couple Sundays ago when I was preaching the sermon of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness that when we're saved, we die to sin and we live for Christ. Now, before we're saved, we're alive to sin, yet we're dead in Christ. I want to try to prove that tonight for just a few moments in saying, remember who you are and whose you are. The third verse here of this third chapter of Colossians says, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." You say, "Preacher, this morning you just said we're all looking forward to dying, or we're going to die." Well, I want you to understand tonight that all of us that have been saved by God's grace, we have died to sin. If you haven't died to sin, you've not been saved. You say, "Preacher, I still sin." Yes, you do. You live in a sinful body. This body that we live in is going to sin, but our soul has been saved. It has been redeemed by the blood, and it's been washed in the blood, and it's no longer subject to the sins of this world. We died when the Lord saved our soul. We died to sin. No longer can sin transgress our soul. No longer does it have a hold on us anymore. That should be a wonderful, wonderful thought this evening, that no longer sin nor does the devil have a hold on us. I want you to turn back now to the second chapter here of Colossians. I believe some of these scriptures I have read before, they're good scriptures. They're not going to change. I have nothing new to really preach to you tonight. I just have the same 66 books that we've been trying to preach out of for several years now. Sixth verse here, this second chapter of the book of Colossians, it says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, where ye also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised from the dead." A lot of people tonight will take those very scriptures and they will prove to you, or try to prove to you, that you can be regenerated in baptism. There's a group of people tonight that believe in a baptismal regeneration. You say, "Preacher, what does that mean?" It means they believe that in order to be saved, to be born again, you've got to be baptized. I can read these scriptures, and if you read them out of context, you might believe that. When it says you have been raised to walk with the Lord, and it says buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him. But I want you to understand something tonight. Long before we're ever baptized, we've got to be saved. Amen. You see, long before He ever got in the grave, Christ did. He died on the cross. His blood was shed for us. So I want you to understand something tonight. Our life is not hid in Christ because we're baptized. We're hid in Christ because we've been saved by the grace of God. Once we're hid in Christ, though, something should happen to us. I've preached it several times. I believe it, and I will always believe it to be the truth. The first thing someone should do after that they have been saved is unite with the Lord's church. The scripture says to take your candle and place it upon the candlestick. What does that mean? It means those that are saved should join an autonomous body, a body of Christ, somewhere and get to work working for God. I don't believe a person can enjoy their salvation until they have united with the Lord's church. I just don't believe you'll ever find any enjoyment in what you've been given until you do. And that is way off subject from where I thought I was going tonight, and that's okay. But I want to get to this fourth verse here in this third chapter. When Christ, who is our life. Have you ever heard someone say, "Well, that is just my life," or something their life revolves around? I was on Facebook earlier and I saw somebody put something on there about being at the racetrack this morning. And he said, "There's nowhere else that I would rather be than out here doing this." And I thought, bless your heart, how little do you know of where your life really should be? I'm concerned today that people, even God's people, don't even realize who the very center of our life should be. And that's Christ. You see, my life, as I told you in that first scripture, ye are not your own. You are purchased with a price. What is the price? It was Christ's death that we have been purchased with. We belong to Him. I was born to a family back in 1993, and there's not a thing in this world that I can do or they can do to change that. I belong to them. Now, sometimes they'd like to probably get rid of me or cast me off when I was growing up. They probably thought, "Well, I'd like for him to just go away somewhere. He's getting on my nerves." But nothing they could do could get rid of me. Like a bad check, I always come back. But as I thought about today, there's a lot of people. They can give up their natural rights to their children. They can give up their parental rights to the children. You go up to the courthouse, you get a statement, you get some kind of memo or something, and all you got to do is give them up. It's that simple. You see, I've known a lot of parents that you can just see by the look in their eyes that their kids are their whole world. They love them.
You see, I'm convinced this evening that God loves us that much. We are children of God. And in return, He is our Father. You see, I told you this morning when I was growing up, I thought my dad could do anything. I thought the man probably, I was the one that made this entire world. He was a big man. He could do anything in my eyes. And I loved him. Thought my granddad, thought he could just do anything. I thought he was able to fix anything. Thought mama, whenever I was hurt, she could fix anything that was wrong with me. When I was sick, I thought she could make me better. They were my life. But oh, that's changed. I love them. I know they love me. But my life is totally dependent and totally centered on, or it should be totally centered on, Christ my Savior. When it says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. When Christ, who is our life. I want you to ask yourself that tonight. Is Christ really my life? Ask yourself tonight. Does everything that I do, does it involve Christ? Do I make decisions that involve Him? Does the church that I attend, do they involve Christ in every decision that they make? If your church does not do that, they're in the wrong. Your church should have Christ at the center of it. Every decision they make, everything that they do, should have Christ's attitude all over it. Why? Because He is our life. And it says, they shall appear. Who shall appear? It says He's going to appear. When will He appear? There's coming a day. I told you this morning that the Lord will return. He's coming back. And it says, He will appear. And it said, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. We've read the Scriptures. We've heard about the Scriptures. We've probably preached on the Scriptures. The Lord and Paul, in writing to the church at Thessalonica, he said, there's going to be some that will come back with Him. He said, preacher, I thought once they got there, they were there. The Bible says that there will be those that will come back with Him. Our bodies and our souls, they will meet in the air, and they shall be changed. But you see, those that are with Christ, they will appear in glory with Him, and so shall we. Isn't that a wonderful thought this evening? That Christ our Savior, He's going to appear. Now, some tonight will believe in the rapture of the church. They say the church is going to be raptured, and then those that are here, they're going to remain, and they'll have all of this time to get saved. Well, I don't believe in that. You see, I believe when Christ returns, that means everybody's time is up. There's not going to be 1,000 years for you and 1,000 years for these over here. I believe when Christ returns, God's going to glorify our new bodies. He'll be glorified as He comes. I don't know how He's going to come. I don't know what kind of mode He's going to come on. Some people say He's going to come on a cloud. I don't necessarily know about all of that. But this I do know, that He shall return. And it says, He will be glorified. Isn't that a wonderful thought this evening? When Christ, who is our life. Somebody asked me last night how long ago it's been since I got saved. And this year marks 13 years that I've been saved. 12 years since I was baptized into the Lord's church. Now, before anybody says, oh, he's up there patting himself on the back, there's a few here tonight that have been saved, probably quadruple that, triple that. I don't know how long some of you have been saved, but I know some of you have been saved a long, long time. I believe Brother Coleman today in Sunday school said he's been saved since he was 17 years old. Somewhere around about there. That's a long time. I'm not going to ask him tonight to stand up and say, has Christ always been the center of your life? I'm not going to ask him to do that. Why? Because I couldn't stand up here tonight and say Christ has always been what my life has centered around. There have been times I've drifted away from Him. And you know when I've drifted away from Him? Sitting right in the middle of the church. You say, preacher, that can't happen. Yes, it can. We all tonight could very well drift away from God if we wanted to. Now, listen to me. I'm not saying you can lose your salvation. Oh, but what I am saying, though, is that the world can ensnare you and cling you up or catch you up in things of this world. I want you to read over here in the second chapter of the book of Colossians. It says in the 18th verse, it says, "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into these things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. And not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, from the things of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances or to obligation? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh." You know what we do when we try to satisfy our flesh? We go against the very things of God. Tonight we can do everything we can to satisfy our flesh. You know what the flesh does? It pulls against God. The Bible says that our minds, they're enmity against God. You say, "Preacher, how can that be? He made us. Why would God make us enmity against Him?" Paul said, "The things that I would do, I don't do. The things that I know to do, that I know to be right, I don't do those things." Why? It's because as long as we're in this body, we are encapsulated by the things of this world. There are things always that are taking us from side to side that are trying to pull us away from the very will of God. I want to encourage you tonight, and I'm going to be through in just a few minutes, I promise. But I encourage all of us tonight. We've set a revival for a few weeks. I want to encourage you in something. If we as God's people truly want a revival, it means we've got to clean our own selves up. It means before a revival ever gets here. Somebody asked me today, "What's the difference in an effort meeting and a revival?" Well, you know what? In order for a revival to ever get here, you've got to start one. And in order for a revival to really be a revival, it's got to start with every single one of us. You see, Brother Taylor can't come up here and make you have a revival. Brother Hoskins coming from Indianapolis, he's not going to bring a revival with him. I don't think he has a secret trunk laying around his house that has a big bow on it that says, "I'm going to pack this down there and that's going to be the key to revival." He doesn't have that. But you know what will let us have a revival? When God's people realize who the center of their life is. When they begin to worship Christ. And I don't mean just coming in here and just worshiping everything and just having a good time. I mean really worshiping God. When Christ becomes the center of our lives, we will worship Him with everything that we've got. And I mean really worship Him. I mean leaving the things of the world behind for a little while. I mean instead of thinking about everything else that's going on in our lives, we put Christ first. I mean that. No church issues. No things that are going on in our families. No things that are going on with our jobs. No things that are going on in marriages. I'm talking about putting God first in our lives. Guess what? He says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." You know, when he wrote that over there in Matthew chapter 6, he was talking to a whole lot of saved people. They've been saved. Why did he say, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God"? You got to put things in their right order. Preached a few Sundays ago about the things that I love. Maybe this is just an addendum to that message. But I want to ask you something this evening. Are we really willing to make Christ our life? You know, one of the churches over there in Acts, I believe it was at Antioch, there was a group of people that were meeting there. And you know what they called those people? Christians. It wasn't a good thing. He wasn't saying, oh, look, there's all those Christians that are meeting. They were actually mocking and making fun of those people. They were. Wouldn't you be happy this evening? I would be, really, if everybody up and down Nolensville Road, if they could just see the glory of God just shining around this whole building. And then as Moses saw the glory of God, and as he went back to the children of Israel, he just had a glow about him. Wouldn't it be wonderful tonight if Christ became so much the center of our lives that everybody that we meet could say, well, what is wrong with you? And you could say, I'm not going to tell you what's wrong with me. I'm going to tell you what is right with me. Let me tell you about my best friend, Jesus. I preached a sermon a few weeks ago, Evangelism 101. You want a revival? You want people to get saved? Brothers and sisters, I'm talking to you tonight as if I've never talked to you before. I want you to realize we're going to have to do some work. And I don't mean just saying we're going to do it. I mean putting Christ first and then doing whatever God asks us to do. Think about that for just a moment. I believe I'm in a church tonight of people that really follow the Lord. But do you do it all the time? I mean, when God impresses on you, are you close enough to Him? Is Christ our life so much that God could impress us to do anything and we would be willing to do it? I'm afraid to say that I'm not there yet. But we start a revival in a little over a month. Brothers and sisters, we've got somebody here tonight that says that she is lost. We've got people in our midst on a regular basis that say that they are lost. I'm talking before April 21st ever gets here. We had better start putting things in their correct order. When it says, seek the things which are above. You know what I'd love to see in a revival? I'd love to see Mount Calvary's church full. I would. But you know what I'm not concerned about? It being full. It can be full if it wants to be. If people want to come, I'd be thankful for it. But you know what I want first? The Spirit of God. Brothers and sisters, it doesn't have to be a full house to have the Spirit of God. We can pray for that. It says, seek the things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Seek Him first, and everything else shall be added unto you. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Brothers and sisters, I pray tonight that we would seriously seek the Lord. I'm talking about revival as we have never seen in our generation. You say, preacher, I've seen some good revivals. Well, that's fine. I hope you have. But we can still see great revivals happen here. And they don't have to wait till we call meetings on the weekend to have revival. We can have revival on Sunday morning, on Thursday evening. We can have it any time when we meet together. We can have it in our own homes. We can have it in our own workplaces. We can have it in our cars. The spirit of revival is not limited to just this place. I encourage you tonight. Make Christ the center of our life. We've got over a month. And we're going to have those series of services. Can I challenge you to do something? And I mean seriously, can I challenge you to do something? I've got to challenge myself. Can we get ourselves in such a shape that when we meet here on Sunday morning, we meet here on Thursday night, that we don't come to worship ourselves, we don't come to worship this building, we don't come to worship just in what we're singing or what I'm going to preach. I'm talking about, can we really worship God? And I mean getting ourselves out of the way. When Christ, who is our life, He's not first, He's not second, He's not third, He's first. Can I challenge you to do that in this next month? And then when it gets here, don't let up. I'm talking about inviting your friends and your family, your neighbors, your family, whoever you can get. Bring them to the Lord's house. But don't just bring them and expect everybody else to do the work. Can we pray and ask God to help us? I hope our lost loved ones get saved before that revival ever gets here. I really, really do. Because you know what? Once they get saved, we can start working on a whole bunch more. But guess what? If we want to see the glory of God, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Don't we want to see the glory of the Lord here tonight? In our services Thursday night coming this week, next Sunday, in our Sunday school. Do you realize that we could come in on Sunday school and just have a wonderful service? I love our Sunday school here at Mount Calvary. Brothers and sisters, let us move with the Spirit of the Lord in our hearts. That's all I've got this evening. I'll be honest with you, I hadn't been prepared for tonight. I had been expecting my granddad to preach, so I didn't have a whole lot prepared. So I apologize for that tonight. But I do ask that you would take this message and let it sink into your hearts. And let's challenge one another. Those that aren't here tonight, there's several of our members that aren't here tonight. We've got some that could be and just aren't. Some that are absent, some that are sick. But let's challenge them to be in revival, to put Christ first. That's all I've got this evening. Standing together.